Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This week on Rockstar Superhero. Howard Fang is one lucky son of a gun. He met his future band, Slovenia's Within Destruction, on tour a few years back, and then just as his own band started to fizzle, the guys in Within Destruction asked him to join, and here we are. The band is on tour at the moment, but Howard had a few minutes and we held our interview just prior to their set, so you'll have to excuse all the background noise. I'm just grateful I had the opportunity to connect with Howard because the band will be on a seemingly endless tour cycle for the next year. Make sure you check out their 2020 release Yokai, as they're finally touring it. They've also just released a new single, Nightmare, which details the musical direction of the band. If you love it like I do, you've found a band that isn't going anywhere and is only getting better. This is Within Destruction on Rockstar Superhero.
I first met them when I toured the States with my previous band, and Within Destruction were, I think, the third on the bill. And after that tour, shortly after that, I left my band, and I was kind of just like deciding whether or not to continue on with doing music or anything. And then I got the offer from Luca to fill in as a guitarist for the 2019 Ingested tour, because during that tour, I've hung out with them, and they've been able to watch me play, and we've been able to spend a lot of time together. So they thought it was a good fit. And as soon as I got the offer, I said, yeah, of course. Like, I'm totally down to do that, you know? And so it's not like it was something that was really planned, but it was just more so I always wanted to do something in music, and the right opportunity presented itself. And I was in a time and place in my life where I was able to jump on board.
Yeah. It's so cool. People don't understand, of course, how it works. They think there's always some sort of open audition call. And although that happens, it's actually quite rare, because usually bands bring somebody in that they know that's just, that's been established in front of them and they have a relationship with, because the bottom line is, man, there's a lot of killer musicians, but there aren't a lot of people that jive with you, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, 100%. I think, musicianship is always, there's so many great musicians out there. And everyone's just so talented. Yeah. I think, finding people that you can actually spend time with and create music together and be on the same page in terms of what you're trying to achieve with your overall sound. I think that's much more important than finding, the best guitarist in your area, best guitarist in the country, because they might not see eye to eye with you. So I totally agree.
Yeah. So then, given the timeline that you've been a part of this band, then were you there from the very beginning to develop Yokai, or was this something that was starting to be written prior to you joining?
Sure. So how I joined the band, after I did the tour with Ingested in 2019, before that, I was sent a demo of Hate Me. So that was kind of my first impression of what Yokai needed to be like. Yeah. And then, after that tour, we basically, we were just writing, and I had a bunch of demos that I've already done prior to joining the band. And it was the same kind of direction that we were trying to go towards. So awesome. It just made sense to kind of put all those songs together, refine them a little bit so that the whole thing is a lot more, you know, clear, and there's a lot more, cohesive. Yeah, a lot more cohesive together. So yeah. I kind of joined in the beginning, and then a lot of the songs that I had just fit perfectly. So yeah, it all just made sense to kind of, you know, all mesh it into like one album and make it all flow really nicely.
Yeah. So you've got a show tonight, correct?
Yeah. Yes, so I do.
Are you sitting in a green room right now? Is that what's going on?
I am sitting in the green room right now. This is like the most quiet place in the venue, because there's one stage that we're playing at and another stage down below. The other stage is doing a sound check, and so they're like, this is like the furthest away that I could be from any like loud noises, you know?
Yeah. No, it's awesome, man. I'm just, like I said before, I'm grateful that you're here. I'm very excited. I love what you're doing. For our listeners, so America's a kind of a weird place when it comes to music in general, right? I mean, we're so sort of proud of our melting pot esque sort of way in the entertainment business, whether it's film or music or whatever that you're checking out. We have a little bit of everything, yet it's amazing to me how little heavy music actually hits the mainstream. You know, it's such a strange thing. And I love Within Destruction. I think you're just a fantastic band. Do you mind sharing a little bit about what your band is known for? I mean, I already know the answer, but you know what I mean? I think for listeners who aren't familiar with your work, you know, just kind of getting an understanding like what Yo-Kai was about, you know, as an album, and maybe break down the Within Destruction sound, the trap beats and melodies.
Sure. I think if you asked, you know, different members of the band what their perspective of what the music is like or what it means to have the Within Destruction sound, I think everyone's going to have a different opinion. Although, you know, the overall big picture, we're kind of shooting towards the same idea. So I guess a broad generalization would be, you know, it has to be heavy. You know, we started as a heavy band, and no matter how mainstream the direction does get, you know, maybe, you know, with trap beats or like EDM beats or, you know, just like big choruses, like what we did with Nightmare. I'd say a key component of it is that it still has to be heavy to be considered, you know, our sound. Yeah, I guess just not being afraid to experiment a little bit with new ideas, new sounds. Trying, because I don't think we ever want to do the same album, and that's what Yo-Kai kind of was. Yo-Kai was kind of a way to branch out of the previous two records, because, you know, a lot of people know the band for being, you know, that slamming deathcore, having that sound, but just frankly I don't think the guys wanted to keep on, you know, creating music like that. I think it just made more sense to go somewhere that's more mainstream, because at the end of the day that's what we actually enjoy more. So I think it was a better representation, and Yo-Kai was kind of the stepping stone of where we want to go, and that kind of more broader mainstream direction, but still retaining that heaviness. You
know? Yeah. There's something about the metal, though, the metal world. The fans tend to be so precious about what they discovered back then, whatever that means, right? So if I fall in love within Destruction, you know, in 2014, my brain says, well, this is what I like about the band, and how dare they change. And yet you as the artist, as the creative, it's not to say that it's not your job to please the fans, but it's first and foremost your job to please yourself, because if you're playing truthfully, then the fans will find you and they'll be pleased. it's such a flip from what the world seems to think that creatives should be doing. It's not about them, it's about us, and in turn it becomes about you.
Yeah, totally. I do understand when you know, people get attached to certain styles. Because yeah, finding a band that you like at a certain period of time, and you know, that band having that sound at that certain period of time might mean a lot to you, but just the reality of it is that people eventually change and people want to do new things. And it's not like those albums are gone, you know.
No, of course.
You can still listen to Deathwish if you prefer. Like it's still there. It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
And those songs will still be like, we still play them live, so it's like you can still come see us and still have a good time. But yeah, I think overall there's just so much attachment to a band's style and a band's, you know, sound.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think people really need to just let musicians and artists do what they want to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, you know, you bring up the new single and then of course you're out on tour right now. I mean, you just have to be grateful that anything is happening. But what I love, again, from my side, not so much from my camp, is that I have finally heard this single. And it's really easy to fall in love with the direction because you've given it an easier to palate sound. I don't know that. I think that's just the best way to put it. And I'm a perfect example of the guy it's going to feed to because I'm an old man. Okay. And, and I like, for me, I love metalcore. I do. I admit it. I love it. Most metal fans probably can't stand it because it's been played out, but I love metalcore. I like the screaming. I like the singing. I like it all. And there's no reason for something to be attractive melodically. There's no reason to complain about it being attractive. It just sounds good. You know, what's so bad about that?
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so you're touring this now and then you're heading to Australia not that long from now, maybe a couple weeks, right?
Yeah, I think, we leave start of June.
Okay.
Yeah, so actually like quite close. We got like maybe a month in between. Yep. So pretty soon.
A little bit of Guns N' Roses in the background there.
Yeah, I apologize for the noise.
It's fine.
I hope it's not, maybe there's like a setting that I can.
No, it's fine. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, it's muted out most of it. I mean, it's background noise. It is what it is. It's all good.
Okay. Awesome. As long as like this, we can still hear this conversation, that it's all good.
Yeah, we can. We can. I awesome. Hear you. I hear you just fine. Okay. Well, so then does that mean you're going to bring that to the States? I mean, what's the chronological order of things? Is it just right now all you got is Australia?
Yeah, right now we have the Australian tour. We have some stuff in Asia that's happening as well. And then, of course, we have the tour with Enterprise Earth in the States. So, yeah, quite full. And then, again, we have the headliner tour that we postponed from last year, this time in October. Wow. So quite a long stretch of shows. And honestly, I'm excited. I like traveling, you know?
Yeah.
It's a good time.
Well, and after having to sit on your hands for basically the last 2 years, this is a perfect time to actually get out and do something and get it out of your system. So it's awesome.
Totally. Yeah, totally. I think touring is such a big part of it. And it feels like when I'm, you know, at home, you know, doing my usual, like my usual work stuff like that, it's just not where I want to be. I'd rather be touring, you know.
Yeah. So you mentioned Nightmare a few seconds ago. For anybody listening, this is the latest release from the band. It's a great single, very intense, very powerful, again very melodic. I really, really dig it. And I have a feeling it's probably doing pretty well in the public eye. So I'm curious, was it actually written for Yokai and never released? Or is it just part of the next, you know, the next cycle, right? The writing cycle. You got the cannon loaded and ready to shoot us, you know?
Yeah, that song was written, I think, September of last year. So definitely not a part of the Yokai the yokai grouping of songs. This was definitely, this was something that was very new. Although we are going down, you know, kind of, I mean, from Nightmare, you can hear that it's kind of going down that same avenue of songs, as yokai was, but no, it's totally new.
Yeah, good, good. Well, I mean, I had a feeling, so I just couldn't imagine you sitting on one track for the last 2 years. But yeah, it's nice to hear the evolution, you know? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. There's no way I can, you know, write a song 3 years ago and then release it 3 years later, because that's such a long time that by the time 3 years is over, I could have maybe written something even better, or something that's not like, you know, yokai was this point of my life and here we are now. It's weird bringing back something from 3 years ago now and pushing that and making it feel authentic to yourself, you know?
Yeah. You have new skin, man. Everything's changing all the time.
Yeah, exactly. And as like, you know, musicians and songwriters, I feel like you develop with every, you know, release, every album. So yeah, I don't think, you know, releasing something that was written, you know, years ago, I don't think that's something that we would really do. Because to be honest, I'd probably just would much rather write a new, something new, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Are you the primary songwriter nowadays? Or is the band as a whole still write as a group?
So yeah, I write. So I'll put together a demo and then everyone gets to contribute. So, you know, everyone has notes, has like kind of ideas of where they want the song to go. We'll try out different things. And then the end product is kind of like a culmination of the bass that was laid down and all the different changes. And it kind of starts with like a demo that I'll just show the guys. And then, we'll just say like, oh, is this like the direction that we want to go? Like, is this demo something that we might want to pursue? And if it is, we'll work on it. And that's just kind of how it operates.
Yeah. Was Nightmare your baby then? Or is that one that was brought in by somebody else?
Yes, that's everything. Everything is, Nightmare is. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm trying not to step too. I mean, it's such, songwriting is a delicate thing. And I mean, you don't want to offend anybody in the band, but everybody has a say and everybody has a point. And I mean, I'm a drummer. So I always found that I wasn't writing songs, but I was key to the arrangement process and therefore key to the songwriting. So it does make sense that everybody wants to own it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. And I think with Within, it doesn't really feel like that. It just kind of feels like everyone is like, when it comes to songwriting, I don't really think there's much ego in like, this part is mine, this part, it doesn't really matter. I think at the end of the day, like whatever we put out, it's like, we just want the best thing possible. So if I come up with something and it sucks, like I'm not really attached to the idea. I'm not really attached to ideas in general. So sure. So yeah, like we're totally down to like write something. If it's bad, we scrap it. We can keep doing this until like something sticks.
Gotcha.
So yeah, definitely not a lot of like no egos whatsoever when it comes to the writing process. Everyone does their job and it works.
That's cool. I love, I can hear in the background, I can hear a door, and it sounds like you guys have a screen door.
Yep. Welcome to that backstage touring life.
That
is.
Well, so I want to actually ask a few things about you, if that's cool. Do you have a little bit of time that we can talk about you?
Yeah, man, of course.
Okay, so what I'd really like to know is a little bit about your childhood. I actually don't know much about you. I mean, obviously, I can make some assumptions, you know, ethnicity and whatnot. But how do you end up in Slovenia, or how, you know what I mean? Just like, what's a little bit of the process of Howard's life?
Yeah, now that I think back on it, it's such a weird connection.
Yeah.
Me being in Slovenia, like that's I find that so weird.
Yeah.
But here we are, right? So yeah. I grew up in Thailand, and I went to an international school there, which is why I talk like this. Mm-hmm. And then when I was in Thailand, I joined a band over there called Defying Decay. And I've been in band since I was in like high school, and that's how I really got into it. And I did Defying for, you know, 4 or 5 years, something like that. And we went to the States for a tour with Betraying the Martyrs, Entheos, Within Destruction, Sentinels, and us. And that's how it all happened. Like, that's how I met all the guys and everything like that. So yeah, to be honest, like there were so many like times when I was in Defying that like I thought like, damn, like, is this the right move for me, you know, like being in music? Because obviously it was hard because they're kind of a new band, right? And it trying to break out of that is definitely really hard, especially being from Asia. I think that like persistence like kind of like made itself work, and here we are. And now I currently live in Taiwan. So, my nationality is actually Taiwan, but I was born and raised in Thailand.
Oh, okay. Okay. Which explains the international school thing, because my wife is Japanese. So my children are right there mixed, right? And if we moved to Japan, they would be going to an international school so they can maintain that cross between English and Nihongo. So it makes sense. It's funny how you said that's how come I speak like this. But I recognize that, because you basically, you've been Caucasianed.
Yeah, pretty much.
Right? Well, you've been influenced by that white culture thing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm pretty much speaking in that like English NPC third culture.
NPC.
Yeah, it's literally, that's literally what I sound like. We all sound like this.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So is your family still in Thailand, or are they in Taiwan as well?
They're in Taiwan.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So that makes a lot of sense. So then how do you, I mean, look, nowadays you can write music and send it over the internet. I mean, I get it completely, but, how does it feel? How does the band stay cohesive if you're 8,000 miles away?
You mean in terms of the songwriting, in terms of touring,
as a band? I mean, so because I'm older, okay, and so I've never been in a band where we telecommuted, right? Where we, wrote songs over the web and passed files, etc. I've never done that. I know it exists, but my only experience has been going to a rehearsal space and being with the guys and getting to know those people over years.
Yeah,
I'm just curious how what the dynamic is like being in a band that's separated by so much space, how it works.
I think the dynamic in itself is quite unique. I totally get it, but I think nowadays with, you know, people work from home, you know, people might not ever go to the office, and they just communicate with people internationally over a project or something like that. It kind of feels like that, but like, you know, obviously we meet up for tours and, you know, recordings or anything like that. How we stay so cohesive is, I think, just everyone being on the same page as to where we want to go. And when it comes to writing music, you know, sending demos over the internet, you know, someone could say something about a specific timestamp, like what they feel like would work better in this specific spot, and I'll make the change, and then we'll just do revisions like that. It might take some time. Of course, you know, when we're doing pre-productions, it helps to be in the same room so that we can, you know, communicate way faster. There's no like, you know, response time or anything like that. It just kind of gets done way faster. And especially in, you know, like, I don't know, in arrangements, in, you know, writing lyrics or like lyric metrics or anything like that, it's much easier to do it in person. But I feel like, you know, even if we had to do it through the internet, like, it's totally possible. Like, if I had like a vocal idea, like, I don't really do vocals, right? But mm-hmm. I have a microphone. I have an interface. I can plug my microphone into the interface, record a specific metric that I want, send it over, and like it's that way there's something more tangible rather than just written things like, oh, like I don't know, this needs to be a triplet, like this specific words, but you know, it's so much harder to piece together ideas. So for me to be able to record these ideas, it's very useful. And you know, sending references and stuff like that helps a lot. But overall, the cohesion comes from us just wanting to go in the same place. Of course, like if one person wants us to, you know, I don't know, like we should be a progressive death metal band, and then, right. you know that, and then like the others are, and then the rest of us are trying to go more mainstream or something like that. Then we would have so many clashing things.
Sure.
But it just really helps to be all on the same page in regards to music.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no matter where you're at, you have to be on the same page. It doesn't, like you mentioned before, it doesn't matter how many great guitar players in the world. First of all, there's only one Howard Fang, right? Right. There's only one of you. Well, with your specific mindset, your specific approach, your availability, it's all the things. It's all about timing. So none of us can look at you and say, well, that's not fair. No, you were in the right place, prepared at the right time. That's how it works.
Totally. You know? Yeah. And that's just how it is. That's just
that's
just how it goes.
It is. You know, again, because I'm married to a woman who's from an Asian culture, I'm curious, you seem to be a hyper-positive, refined human being. Like, you're just sort of ready for the moment. And I one of the conceits of my show is when we talk to artists, we talk about some of the worst behaviors, right? The self-destructive habits, because I'm curious how a human being kind of goes from here to here. How do they get from A to B? And you seem really well put together. So I'm sure this question doesn't apply to you, but do you have a self-destructive habit? Do you have bad habits that you've had to overcome over the years? Or was that just like smacked out of you when you were a little kid?
I mean, I guess I can make this music related too.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Whatever you want to say.
Yeah. I think I was going to fail out of school when I was in middle school, around when I was like 13 to 14. Yeah. Like my grades were really, really bad. Like I just didn't care and I couldn't concentrate in school. Mm-hmm. I didn't really care about anything, to be honest. And then like, it's funny because I picked up the guitar, started practicing, and then that taught me that The more time you spend on something, the better you get at it. Yeah. Mind blowing, right? Yeah. But yeah, like that just kind of clicked, and then I stayed in school, and then I did pretty well in school.
Yeah, yeah.
Able to go to college, like. So I guess I don't know. In
terms you found of your way through.
Yeah, just like having that as an example, like really helps, because if you don't really have anything that you're passionate about, like what's the point, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty much it.
Yeah. That's so true. And yeah, it doesn't matter what culture, what family you come from. You have to have something, stick to it, work at it. And eventually, right, you find your audience, or your audience finds you, is maybe a better way to put it.
Sure. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Yeah. So again, because of my own experiences with my own wife, especially with Japanese parents in her situation, who expected a certain career, a certain journey through college, et cetera. And then she married me. So culturally, were your parents afraid of you becoming a musician and the travel and all the things that it means, or were they happy to see you in a place that you thrive?
I think what was important for them was just financial independence and being able to, you know, I don't know, like make your own money and live off yourself, because you can't live off your parents, you know. Mm-hmm. I think that's something that was really important to them. And of course, you know, being in bands before that were, you know, not successful and not making money at the time. And like, I was really about it, you know. I mean, I still am, obviously I'm here, right? But, but you know, back then, like 4 or 5 years ago, when I was like so vehemently pursuing music, I think they were a bit concerned, because they saw, you know, the nicheness, just like being in metal is so niche, right? Like who listens to this? And also making money playing this kind of music, like, is also another level of difficulty. So being in a small band and being so stubborn about continuing onto this industry, of course that's going to worry any parents. But you know, I feel like after they saw, you know, oh, okay, like this, you know, being in this band, like, yeah, there's an actual audience, you know, we can act, right. there are tours. You know, if this is like a band with a level of success, I feel like it made them a little more, like, it made them more chill about it. Because they saw that it was like actual, you know, an actual business. And yeah, I think, and then, you know, obviously me telling them my plan, going forward definitely helps a lot. But I don't think my parents were really the kind of parents that were, you know, expecting me to be a lawyer or like a doctor or any of the stereotypical Asian career paths, right?
Right.
I mean, dude, I was failing out of school. I think they that left their brain when that happened.
They forgot.
There was no way. Yeah.
Like, they just want totally, Howard to survive.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. So, yeah, man.
Oh my God.
But of course, if you talk to, you know, other parents from the same background, they might have a different opinion.
Of course. Of course.
They might be more conservative.
Of course. Yeah. Well, so I know I can't keep you much longer, and I appreciate that you've even been here today, and thank you so much. But I definitely want to know is what's coming next? I mean, A Nightmare seems to have given us a taste of, you know, the future of Within, and so I'm kind of curious, do you have a plethora of singles to release, or do you have a new album that you're actually starting to develop? What's the strategy for you guys? If you can share.
I think people are just gonna have to wait. I think
I see.
I think we like to not be predictable. I think every release is different. Mm-hmm. And in terms of what we have, you know, continuing down the line, I don't think it's, I do think it's something that is new.
Yeah.
In terms of like what's happening, what's coming up next, I can't really disclose much of it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, even for myself, I wouldn't want to say anything, because I want to just drop something and then just people being like, what is this? I'd rather have that, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, of course it's my job to ask, right? But I'm definitely curious for myself. Yeah. Just my own ego likes to be in on the trick ahead of time, right? But I love the band so much, and I love what you're doing. I can't wait for you guys to get to the States so I can see you. It's like every time you guys have been in town, something has gone wrong, and I was sick the last time you were here. So,
damn.
Let me ask one final question and then let you go, Howard.
Sure.
Obviously, you can't give us the inside information we might be seeking right now, and that's fine. But I'm curious, the band clearly has successes, as you mentioned a second ago, as your parents, you know, see that, okay, you're at this level and you've got an audience and you're on a touring cycle. And you know what I mean? You're not just an opener at a bar somewhere. You're doing things that are significant in the business. So to me, you've already had significant success over everybody else. But that said, you're in the middle of it. So what would it take for you, Howard, to believe that you've had a successful career, that what you're doing matters?
To be honest, I don't know if that's a mindset I'll ever reach. I think for me personally, I'm always looking forward for the next thing, for the next thing, you know, the next, like, I don't know, the next tour, the next jump in listeners, the next, you know, anything that's taken us to the next level. So I think it's hard for me to like look back now, because I mean, it's just started. So I can't really look back and say, oh yeah, I've had a successful career, because I'm 25. I still have a long way to go. But it's hard, because I'm sure if you ask the guys at the way top, I'm sure they probably have someone even higher than them that they want to aspire to be, you know? So I don't really know. I think as long as people can connect to the music, and I don't know, maybe we made someone's day a little better, you know, because they streamed this song or that song. I think that's good. Like that's a good metric of like measuring how successful my career is, or, you know, something like that.
Yeah. Well, I asked that question because it's impossible to answer. That's why I love that. Yeah. I love that question, because, and for anybody who knows me, and then as you, you know, the performer who I'm speaking to, man, creatives, man, we'll never stop. We'll never be fulfilled. There's just no way while we're alive, we're ever going to be content. It's never enough. We're always looking for the next tier, as you imagine. Yeah. But you know, I just want to say thanks, because to me, you're living that dream. You're playing incredible music. You're in a wonderful situation, and you have nothing but hope in your future. So I'm really, really happy for you, Howard. You're a great player. You're in a great band, and I can't wait to meet you in person one of these days.
For sure, man. Thank you. And me too. We're so stoked to be going to the States, and yeah, looking forward to meeting you too, man.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.